The opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily represent the views of the Phoenix Foundation, its sponsors, or affiliates. Welcome to our Squawk Cast. This podcast is about homeschooling in the province of Alberta. We encourage you to grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and relax for a few minutes. And now, here are your hosts, Diana Stinn and Jill Mann.
This is Diana Stinn.
And Jill Mann.
Welcome to our Squawk Cast! Darn, we're out of practice.
We are. We have slacked off. You know, sometimes life gets busy.
Yeah, it's been really busy around here. Yeah. So we do want to apologize to our listeners that unfortunately this is episode number 45.
Actually, it's episode 45 again, but it was so long since in between the one we had kind of almost done was not pertinent anymore.
So this episode is called Budget, the Information and Misinformation. Mm-hmm. And today, Jill, we're going to talk about some wing feathers. Mm-hmm. We have a little bit of nest news to update people with.
Yep.
What's hatching. Mm-hmm. We do have someone who flew the coop.
We do.
Yeah, we do. And then we are going to beak off, and it's going to be about the budget.
Budget beacon.
Right. Not budgies.
Nope. I like budgies. I'm pro-budgie.
But it's going to be about the budget. Mm-hmm. And some of the information that is out there about it and some of the misinformation. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
As ready as I will ever be.
Okay, let's dish out some wing feathers.
Okay.
Oh dear, Jill has decorated for today's podcast.
I have.
She's trying to look springy.
It is ode to spring.
There you go. But you have some wing feathers. Let's dish them.
We do. I would like to send a wing feather out to Bruce Jackson. He has been volunteering a great deal of time helping us update our bathrooms. He has laid new tile.
A little louder, Jill.
Oh, okay. She's signaling at me, and I'm like, what does that mean? She's not using the usual finger I'm accustomed to. Shall we start that over?
I don't know. I thought that was pretty funny.
All right. So Bruce Jackson is one of our dads and staff hubby. And he has been laying new tiles in our four bathrooms. You know, I don't know if you guys have this in your house, but you know, you deal with something for so long, you stop looking at it, and then it gets fixed, and your heart swells with happiness.
So your heart is swelling over our bathrooms here at the school?
Yes, yes it is. Because actually, in a trickle down, my husband came and said, hey, those look really good, and he went home and did my bathroom.
There you go.
So actually, my heart just was swelling everywhere I went.
So the Phoenix kitchen could use
them. I know. And our entrance way. So, yeah, we have new tiles, new lights, mm-hmm. and two new staff toilets.
Woohoo!
I know it. Isn't that fabulous?
That is fabulous. So, thank you very much, Bruce Jackson.
Yep.
And John Mann and Barry Davidson for mm-hmm. their help with regards to that. Because we also, John has helped out in a variety of ways, including donating his blood, sweat, and tears.
Yes, this is true. My lovely husband, yeah. Scared to come in the building because there's a honey-do list and a unplanned blood donation.
There you go. And we would also like to thank Computers for Schools.
Yes.
We were donated some new-to-us computers.
Yeah.
And Barry spent the week installing some of those.
Yep.
So everybody's very excited because it doesn't take half an hour for their computer to warm up.
I know. We're all very excited. And our husbands have forgiven us yet again for dragging them in.
Yeah.
We also want to thank Renfrew for a donation of gym equipment and all kinds of wonderful tables and furniture and cabinets. They're very kind to share with us.
They are an amazing educational partner, and we appreciate them very much. So, yahoo to Renfrew.
Yeah, they do great work over there.
Totally.
Yeah.
And last but not least,
Bill Mart. Totally. I mean, we have had, today I talked to somebody on the phone, and I compared this building today like somebody kicked an anthill. Because we had kids, and everybody's excited, and it's truly a homeschooling Phoenix day. It was messy. And I was in the middle of a tour, and there were kids running from one room to the other to a sink and dripping from their elbows. And one of our daddies and our brand new board member jumped up and went and got the mop for me so I could carry on with my tour. And he was swabbing the deck today. So thanks, nice. Bill.
Yeah, good job, Bill. Let's move on to Nest news. So in this section, we're going to actually just update people about our enrollment numbers. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk more about why it is that we're making a deal of this.
Yeah, it is. It is a deal. So what are our numbers? What do you want to start with?
Kindergarten. We currently have 9 out of 25 spots filled.
Yay!
Home ed is the next one. We have 51 out of 70 spots. And we have 119 out of 155 spots left for school directed programs.
Okay, so just to reiterate, how many spots left in kindergarten ECS do we have?
Oh, you're going to make me like do math.
Yeah.
Darn.
Well, I got to take my shoes off.
I think we have 16 left for kindergarten.
Okay.
For home ed, we have 19 spots left. And for school directed, let me just see.
She's doing math. She's doing so good.
Wait. This is like 20, so that's like 5. So there's like 36 spots left in school directed.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
And
so,
we've only been accepting for, about 12
April
days?
April 1st.
So only the days we were open, so yep. That's kind of scary.
So every day we've been getting in roughly anywhere from 5 to 25 registrations. So people, please do your math. Again, literally we have roughly 50 spots left for grade 1 through 12. Yeah. If you are interested, you better get your stuff in now.
I got my registration in this year, the earliest I have ever in 15 years of homeschooling.
Me too.
I know.
And they need to make sure they bring a copy of a Canadian birth certificate. Doesn't help us if you were born somewhere else in the world.
Nope.
It has to be something that proves that you are Canadian and live in Alberta and that you are entitled to an education in this province.
So like your Alberta health card?
Would be very good. Yes, totally. Okay. And bring your paperwork.
Yes, paperwork and your registration fee. For
right.
A new student, it's $50. For a returning student, it's $25.
And we're asking people to pay that separately. It cannot come out of your funding.
Nope.
As always, okay, it has to be paid separately by check, debit, Visa.
Kindness of your friends, because me and Diana opened all our desk drawers and got the change out for my sons. I gotta find $25.
It'll look bad if the founders have to register somewhere else. Okay, so let's move on to what's hatching.
What is hatching?
Well, at the end of this week, we have a big day, and I know you're stressing about it.
And I can't believe it's here already. It feels like we just got it up.
I know. So what we're talking about is the fact that Ireland is almost over. And at the end of Ireland, we have our feast. Guess what? We're having some little Irish dancers come this time around. Should be very exciting. And we're going to eat potato leek soup and shepherd's pie and green beer.
And apple cake.
Yeah, sounds yummy.
Very fun.
So, unfortunately, tomorrow morning, which is Wednesday, if you don't have your registration for the feast in to us by that time, I'm sorry, but the feast will be closed, and you will have to check out the next one, which is our year-end ceremony. And the next theme is going to be circus.
And it is
a circus. Okay, just a quick reminder that we are closed for a week. So April 20th to 26th, we are closed.
Yes.
For
I'm
a much
very
needed
excited about that. We need to heal.
Yes.
Repair.
Yes. So we are looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do a little wiggle and take a glance back through our tail feathers.
Ooh, fun.
I know. We did a lot of things this week, and I got to say, in addition to accepting all of these registrations, and if you can imagine, I mean, we've literally had hundreds of people in our building. Mm-hmm. We've been doing tours, and we've had open houses.
And phone calls off the hooks.
Yeah, and phone calls not just from our families, but from other organizations and other schools.
Yeah.
Because, we were one of the first organizations to notice that education was capped, that enrollment was capped. And so started sounding the alarm bells about that. And so people have been calling.
Yeah.
Last week, April 8th, we spent the day with Alberta Education and all of the administrators from the private schools in the Calgary area.
Yep.
Thank you to Alberta Education.
Yes.
I know they didn't want to talk about the budget, but it was the primary concern of everybody that was in that room.
They did dodge it quite often.
They
though,
did.
And very adeptly with little fancy toes.
We also are going to be having a wine and cheese event for tomorrow night, mm-hmm. which is for the private schools only. Mm-hmm. And we are going to work out some sort of partnership arrangements. We're going to be talking about how we can share what we can do, mm-hmm. because a lot of the private schools are going to be...
They're going to be struggling.
They are going to be struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we are trying to step up to the forefront on that and take a leadership role to help each other, because you know what? There's more than enough for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to figure out how we can work together mm-hmm. to ensure that everybody is here next year.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Phoenix is a nonprofit organization that operates with grants from Alberta Education and donations from good people like you. Phoenix happily accepts used curriculum, toilet paper, and cash.
Jill, you saw something on Facebook, and we went out for the very first time in a very long time to something this week.
I know. It's been really, sadly, I think it's been years since we've done something.
Yep.
And it was, we were here dealing with electricians for new lights, and they were all finished, and the homeschooling mom's night out, and lovely Miss Judy Arnell planned it, and it was right in our neck of the woods, like 2 blocks away, so obviously we were meant to go.
Right.
And we ran out of our building, slammed the door shut, yelled at the electrician, "Lock up behind you!" And what a nice night. It's been ages since we've just gone and gotten to be homeschooling moms and laugh and saw some old, well, not old faces, but okay, well, ours are all old, that have known each other for a long time and new ones, and it was great.
Yeah, it was great. And it was really nice because it was homeschooling parents from
every age, every boy. It was lovely.
Yeah, and we didn't have to cook.
And I didn't have to clean up after.
Yay!
Yay! So it was really lovely. We didn't organize it. We just showed up.
I know. It was nice.
It was.
The next segue that we have here is flown the coop.
Yes. Yes. Family is everything, and family is first, and we all need to look out for our family, the young and the old, and you know, and our Phoenix family.
Yes. So we would like to say a final farewell to Miss Shelley Denard. Yes. She has been with us for 6 years.
Yes.
She was our second kindergarten teacher.
Yes, she was.
And we have enjoyed her uh-huh. and the breadth and depth of skills and education that she brought to us.
Yep.
And she will be very sadly missed.
And her happy smile, and she'd moved to event planning.
Yep.
And, oh my goodness, they ran so smoothly.
Right.
It was so nice.
It was nice. But she is off to help her family, and we support her in that endeavor.
Yep.
And should she need to or want to, she's always welcome back.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's go into our little beak off segment. Okay, we're going to get our paperwork now because we got some stuff to discuss. So if you will dig out yours, if you happen to be following along in our show notes, the first thing that we're going to talk about is the information that AHEA sent out to its members and to Alberta home educators.
Mm-hmm.
Some of this is really good stuff. Some of it is a little bit wrong.
How about misunderstood?
Misunderstood.
Let's give, I don't think there was an intention,
mm-hmm.
but I believe, you know, mm-hmm. perhaps an accident happened.
Well, or just a different take on the scenario.
Okay.
So we're
going to
go through each of their little points mm-hmm. and have a wee discussion. Mm-hmm. And we're going to draw in some of the information that we happen to know from AISCA, which mm-hmm. is the Private Schools Association, mm-hmm. as well as the funding manual, mm-hmm. which is the document produced by Alberta Education, mm-hmm. and essentially is how we know what we all get paid.
Yep. This is a huge planning document for every school.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's go through. So point number one mm-hmm. was the budget.
Yep.
And then it says, province tells new homeschoolers no funding, no support, no supervision. So as a lot of you know, Alberta Education, in the funding manual, in paragraph 1 of significant changes, mm-hmm. it talks about the fact that that funding for next year is frozen, meaning that if you as an organization had 100 kids, you will be funded for 100 kids next year, or less if you have less kids. So the key piece here is, what does it mean for home educators? Well, in Phoenix's case and every other private school board's case, if you had home education students this year, you will be allowed to take the same number of students next year. Anything over that, and the province will not pay.
That's right. So if this year we are allowed
70,
next year we are allowed
70.
And what if we register 74 home eds?
Then four of those families will not receive funding, and nor will Phoenix receive anything for them.
But if we accept them, we are responsible for their program, for overseeing their program.
Absolutely. So the piece here where it says no funding, that part's true. No support, that is incorrect. And no supervision, that is incorrect as well. So if a school authority, whether that's a public board or a private school, accepts students, they will be responsible to the same level, whether those students are funded or not.
Well, and the other point in this titling says, province tells new homeschoolers, no funding, no whatever. But that's not necessarily true either. If you are an old-time homeschooler with a particular board and you don't get your registration and your documentation in, they may not accept you either. They are all going to make their own calls on how much leeway they're going to give their existing families. For us, they got the opportunity. We have been calling, we've been mailing, we've been emailing to tell our existing families that they need to come in to secure their place, but we're not holding.
And so each one of the school boards, you're right, has to make that decision because they might not open up their registration to new families until later if they have any spots left. In our case, registration started April 1st and our first open house was April 8th. So we accepted new students on April 8th. In the meantime, like I said, everyone had been contacted.
Of our 70 we're allowed, they don't all have to be old homeschoolers. They can be new.
So in that case, those new families will actually get funding and support and everything.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's move on to number two. Number two, more from the budget. Alberta creates two-tiered education system. Well, this one has some interesting things in it. For a long time, in some ways, there has already been a two-tiered kind of system. Because, for example, well, AHEA doesn't say this. This is something that the government has been telling people, that private ECS service operators and private schools with approved early childhood programs receive 100% of the funding available to public boards. But we know that this is not true. For example, we looked up in the funding manual, and school jurisdictions, that's your public boards, last in 2013 received $4,012.13. The next year, they got $4,026 and some change. Then next year, they're going to get $4,088 and a few pennies. Okay, so they've gotten a steady increase in kindergarten. So what have we gotten? We've gotten, in 2013, $3,280 and a few pennies. That's a full $1,000 less. Not 100%.
No, it's not.
And then the next year, we received the exact same amount, so $3,280.84. So our funding for that area was frozen. And next year, we're getting a decrease. We received $3,269 and a few pennies.
And we are required to meet all the same benchmarks, goals, paperwork.
Everything. But Alberta Education is adamantly saying that we receive identical funding for kindergarten as the public jurisdictions. So completely not true. Okay, so there already has been a two-tiered system in place for quite some time. Okay, number three says dual credits, home educated students banned from post-secondary courses. Not true. Okay. So basically, if you are a home educating parent and you are in grades 1 to 12 and you submit a receipt for tuition for a post-secondary institution, Alberta Education may decline your receipt.
Yeah.
Unless your school, and that is your private school operator, mm-hmm. not your contractor,
yes,
but your private school authority or your public jurisdiction, has a legally binding agreement mm-hmm. with the post-secondary.
Yes.
Because that's how dual crediting works.
Yes.
So, if you have that in place, then Alberta Education will actually pay the post-secondary, mm-hmm. and they'll pay your tuition receipt.
Yes. And if you don't?
No funding.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and we've had this discussion. So, if you do have a student doing a post-secondary course, and they are still registered in a K-12 program...
Because there are those kids.
They are. Right? We have had them.
Absolutely.
And the trick of the matter is just, you know, put in your receipts for what you know you can get paid for. Don't put your kid and everybody, don't stress everybody out.
Right. So we will pay for the laptop. We'll
yep.
pay for all kinds of other things.
Yep.
And if your student is taking a course at a post-secondary, then like I said, they still need to be doing something for grade 11, 12.
Yes.
In that range.
And
so submit
for those
things.
You have to hit all your cores, right?
Exactly.
So, great, but there are more receipts. Just pick a receipt that they're going to accept. Sometimes
exactly.
it's not worth the fight if you risk your kid.
Right. And if you are going to be looking for dual credits, then make sure that you have a contract mm-hmm. with your school authority and the post-secondary institution.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Number 4, Bill 10. Bill 10 is only the beginning. Well, Bill 10, AHIA is correct in the sense that it has little direct impact on home educators.
Mm-hmm.
That part is true.
Mm-hmm.
It does impact, however, the private schools with whom home educators are required to notify with.
Yes.
Right? So in that particular case, all private schools and public jurisdictions are now subject to Bill 10. And Bill 10 actually takes effect immediately here in June, I believe June
mm-hmm.
15th.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with creating diversity organizations or clubs,
mm-hmm.
GSAs.
Yeah.
And there is, however, some legal precedents and some legal issues around this because of the Loola case.
Oh.
I can't say it.
I can't either. It does not roll off my tongue.
It does not. But it is a private post-secondary college in Quebec, and they challenged and took their situation to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court basically ruled that if... religious organizations and educational institutions are allowed to exist, then they are allowed to exercise their religious freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could very well have an impact on Bill 10 and the various private religious schools that exist throughout the province,
exactly.
as well as the public one, the separate jurisdiction.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bill 19 and the home ed regulation. Will parental authority be respected? Bill 19 is some amendments to the Education Act, and they do correct a few mistakes that were made in the education bill. It doesn't necessarily impact home educators, and I think it totally does still speak to, for certain, in the preface of the Education Act,
mm-hmm.
talk about parents' right
mm-hmm.
To choose, parents' responsibilities to be the person in charge of their students' education.
Mm-hmm.
I think it totally does support parental rights.
Yep.
The downside is it adds sort of another layer onto private schools.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the piece where if a private school's financial statements or their practices or whatever, the ministry doesn't feel they're up to snuff, it's possible that the minister may close down the school.
Mm-hmm.
In that regard, that has always sort of been there.
Yep.
And that's not really anything new.
Nope.
It's just stated very clearly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yes,
there's...
those procedures have kind of always been in
yeah.
place.
Yeah.
It's just
and...
now down there.
And there is a little bit of worry because a lot of the private schools last year decided to do a lot of major capital investment.
And
yeah.
Investment and change.
Renovate their schools and all that kind of stuff so that they could accept new students this year.
Yes.
And
maybe,
now.
Yeah, they maybe want to add a new grade or just up their numbers in general.
Right. And now the challenge is the money that would normally come from Alberta Education will not be there.
Nope.
And so unless they're charging a significant tuition and they can get by on just that tuition, then that will be basically the only way that private schools will be able to grow.
Yes. I hope this does not go any longer than 1 year.
Right.
Because it could be, in the long run, very devastating.
Right. Absolutely.
When you're never allowed to grow. You only are allowed to shrink.
Yes. So, and that has a lot of impacts. So, for example, if private schools have to turn students away, the province is expecting a growth of 12,000 kids. And over the last few years, we've already had 70,000 new kids to the province.
Yeah.
So there's a huge amount. And there was an article that appeared in the Lethbridge Herald that talked about comparing Alberta classrooms to international classrooms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The article is in the Lethbridge Herald on April the 13th, and it basically talks about that Alberta classrooms are twice as likely as schools globally to include a significant number of students with special needs, 51% versus 26%.
It's pretty big change.
It is a pretty big change. Yeah. And 41% of Alberta classrooms include significant populations of students learning in a second language, compared with 21% internationally.
Hmm.
So that's huge.
Yep.
Plus, the article goes on to say that Alberta teachers work on average 10 hours more per week than teachers anywhere in the world. And the second place winner in that category is Japan.
Wowzers.
Yeah. So Alberta is the first.
Hmm.
Darn, that's really scary.
That is. That's very disturbing.
It is disturbing. And unfortunately, private schools around the province have been sort of the siphon, the pressure relief valve.
Yeah.
And so, you know, those students who could move into the private independent system have done so, and taking off the pressure off the public system.
Yes.
And every time one of those students moves into the independent system, it frees up $9,000 or more.
Yep.
To go into the public system.
Yeah.
Really, Alberta Education and our current government should really be encouraging private schools.
We are a penny-pinching option for them.
We are. I like it. Penny-pinching option. But you know, BC has approximately 13% of their students are supported in independent schools. Only 4 or 5% of ours are here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of sad because, honestly, I like to think of Alberta as being the entrepreneurial province.
Well, we can't be the best at everything.
Apparently not.
We need to share.
And according to a new article that came out today or yesterday in Metro, so April 13th, it says Calgary classrooms will be dirtier, more crammed, and feature crummier technology.
Did we mention we got new computers from schools that other people, or for schools that other people threw out and they fixed for us?
Yeah.
They've been our supplier for years.
Absolutely. But it's interesting because CBE is predicting a $30 million shortfall.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that I noticed in this particular article was talking about, for example, at high school level, the board has approximately 30 students per high school class.
Yeah.
It is the highest in the province.
Mm-hmm.
And they expect that by 2017, their classroom numbers will have spiked to almost 36 kids in a class.
And that's really scary because a high school class, you know, those are pretty heavy classes.
Right.
You know, those are not free and easy. High school courses are tough, and that's a lot of students who are going to need some help.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the areas, unfortunately, that CBE has decided to cut is cleaning.
Yeah, because heaven knows, our schools never get dirty in the course of a day. Oh.
So we're lucky. We have parents and family and staff that all chip in around here to keep everything clean.
Yep.
But apparently CBE is going to be moving to our model.
Yeah, except their parents are not around.
There you go. They also intend to cut some of their superintendent positions.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that is a non-critical, non-certificated position will be eliminated.
So services and supports for students and schools will be bye-bye.
Right. So I think that probably means some teacher's aides and things like that.
Well, because, you know, they've been told they're not to get rid of the teachers. So unfortunately, when the pot of money is only the size the pot the money is, something has to give.
And I was interesting because this article references someone reading a sign that says there are 28 kids in their kindergarten class. And we saw on Facebook just prior to us doing this podcast, somebody holding up a sign that said, in my Chem 20 class, there are 36 kids, but only 32 seats.
Yeah.
How does that work? Where are the kids sitting on
Someone's being voted off the island. We're snuffing your torch.
That's it. Yeah, four of you get to take a, you know, you get to take a break.
Yeah, you rotate in the yard. Oh, maybe they'll do some janitorial work while they rotate out.
Oh, there you go. Maybe. Anyways, let's move back to the AHEA article. The last point there talks about the provincial election. Who should home educators trust? Well, this is actually a really tough one.
I'm sorry. Suddenly, all I could think of was X-Files. Trust no one. The conspiracy theorists.
There you go. Well, I can't speak for broad sweeps, but our MLA in this area is Mo Amory. And Mo came by your door the other night.
He did. He didn't know I lived there. I kind of got startled him.
Anyways, but Mo knows our school. Yes. He has helped us secure grants for things, and he regularly comes out to events and activities.
Yep.
So, you know, that's the kind of person that we need in our corner. Conversely, we have also run some workshops for the Wild Rose MLAs and tried to educate them about the education system. The unfortunate part about it is they can complain.
Yep.
And that's about the extent of what they can do.
Yeah, they can talk about what they would do, but they aren't actually getting to do it. So
that's it.
So consequences.
So I think the big thing that we need to remember here, and we need to encourage people, is to please vote for the best candidate in your riding, the one who actually represents you and you think is going to be incredibly hardworking for you. But secondly, remember that, you know, with existing MLAs and things like that, now is the time to go to them and talk about the impact that the budget will have on your homeschooling journey. So whether you are doing a school-directed program or a home education program, you need to go and share that information with your MLAs and talk about how tentative, you know, that private schools are feeling, how dirty CBE classrooms will be. And all that kind of stuff so that they know. Because while this is the tentative budget, it has not been finalized. And there still is an opportunity for us to make change.
Yeah. We cannot count on that, but it might happen.
It might happen.
We have to, we as the schools, and this is all of us and different services, we have to act and behave and plan as if this is the way it is.
Right.
Because we need to plan.
Right, we need to plan. But having said that, you know, I would encourage everybody to do some research for yourself.
Yes.
So there are several key documents that are critical to education in this province. The first one is the Guide to Education, and you can look that up and download it from Alberta Education's website.
Or read it on the website, because it's like 500 pages or something, isn't that
one? Yeah, it's a few pages.
Yeah,
I don't think it's 500, but it's a few.
One of them is 500 or something. Maybe that's the Guide to Education. I can't remember. Yeah. But yeah, you might want to read them online before you just hit print.
Right. So the second one that you should look at is the funding manual. And the funding manual is only 144 pages or something along that line. So it's not nearly as bad. But that, again, is something that you can look at. It spells out exactly how Alberta schools are funded.
But please do check and pay attention. Are you looking at public school funding or private school funding? Because they are not apples to apples.
Significantly different.
They are apples and sheep.
Yeah. And remember that charter schools are indeed actually public schools, and they are funded as such.
Yeah.
Okay, so have a look for yourself. And that's who I would suggest you trust, is do your own research.
Yes.
So while the ATA is putting out all kinds of election commentary and so on, other organizations are as well.
He has put out information. And
right.
A lot of people are putting out information.
Absolutely. Heck, we are.
Yep. But we have done our very, very best to, as of this date,
yes,
because that is our disclaimer constantly, of April 14th, to the best of our ability.
This is what we know.
Checking facts.
Exactly. So, this is Diana Stinn.
And Jill Mann.
And we would like to wish you a special kind of week. Are you ready, Jill?
But it's actually kind of a public service announcement. Goodbye.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, it's about, you know, cleanup. Avoid clutter. Do your best to pass on good, reliable, proven information. Don't clutter everything up. Don't send everything out on Facebook. Check your sources.
Okay, nice. So we are wishing you a realistic,
fact-based week.
Oh, a fact-based week. Okay, that sounds good. Okay, everybody. Well, let's raise our cup of Phoenix coffee.
What are we drinking?
I think today we're drinking Bird Turd Organic.
Oh, that's one of our favorites.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Bye for now.
Bye.
The SquawkCast is produced by the Phoenix Foundation and is dedicated to promoting homeschooling and positive education. For more information on this and other episodes, please visit our website at phoenixfoundation.ca, where you will find the show notes as well as links to our blogs, videos, and other content. You can send us feedback or questions to info@phoenixfoundation.ca. Also, please consider supporting us by visiting the store page on our website, where you will find merchandise such as our custom coffee blends, t-shirts, and more.